Saturday, we had a session of the presidency, our governing board, in Tuzla in person, which lasted for about 8 hours, and it was a decisive in many ways. We are going through the process of evaluation of where we stand in an effort to be better prepared for the general election in 2022. We started the process of looking at our own work first at the level of the presidency. We started with some changes, the level of the executive director, a couple of members of the presidential board, governing board, handed in their resignations. There will be more coming in. We are shutting down some organizational units that have not performed well. We are doing an extensive evaluation of, we asked every unit, every team, everybody within the organization body, within the Platform for Progress, to evaluate their work leading to the elections in order to figure out where the areas of strengths are, where the weaknesses are, so we can act. We are working on changes to our bylaws that should be enacted or approved on January 16th, when we will have our convention, electronic convention, assuming people will, delegates will want to vote for those changes. And the changes are primarily designed to make us more efficient. I started this process with an American mindset, a lot of democracy in everything. Decisions on who, where, how, why. And we realized that this is really Bosnia and Herzegovina, where democracy is taken lightly, and people prefer strong men and strong women, but it turns out it's mostly strong men. And those who can pounce with their fist against the desk and talk tough. So what we're trying to do, not to do that, but what we are trying to accomplish is to be in a position where we will give responsibilities to people who are leading areas and regions, cities, municipalities, the whole regions, to give them the right to manage things as they see fit, establish local organizations with people they trust and that they know that they can do the work, instead of those people being elected at some local elections from the assembly of members, in an effort to avoid divisions that we've had thus far that were mostly personal, they were never ideological. It was always that somebody could not agree with somebody or had some grievance against somebody. But at the same time, even though they will have more rights, we will ask them for results, and they will be responsible for the results in the units of responsibility that they have. And of course, they cannot turn into tyrants, because they could be repealed by their own boards with a two-thirds majority. So what we are trying to do is to come up with a balance between elected and appointed type of key resources that we have within the Platform for Progress. We'll see how far we will go. But I know that we are going through some tough times now because we are brave enough to decide to clean up our ranks. That usually causes a lot of friction. Those who have to leave, those around them, those who believe their words as opposed to facts. But at the same time, it is a step that is very, very necessary for us to be prepared for the 22. Since then, I arrived. On Monday, we were supposed to come to the United States. Our flight was canceled from Sarajevo to Vienna, onward to Washington and coming back to Charlotte. We decided to come here for a month to see our children, our grandchildren, the university. The flights were canceled all the way through January 1st. This was supposed to be December 28th. We decided to try other routes, got tickets from Zagreb, got the transportation to a friend took us to the border with Croatia. We walked across the border, then got a taxi on the Croatian side, went to the hotel near the airport in the morning, got a flight to Frankfurt around 10 o'clock. Around 12:30 was that devastating earthquake in Petrinja in Croatia. In Frankfurt at the airport, I had many phone calls, and it's hard to talk with the mask on. I took the mask off, not off, but just pulled it down below the chin. And as I finished the conversation, three policemen, heavily armed, came to me and said, "Sir, where is your mask?" And I said, "Well, I was just on the phone and I couldn't talk." He said, "I talk with my mask on. Can't you see?" I said, "Yeah, I can see that you can talk, but I also have glasses and they get fogged up." And he said, "I have glasses on and it doesn't bother me." I said, "Okay, I'm sorry, I was just on the phone." He said, "Sir, you have to wear your mask on." And he was so angry. I was really afraid that he was going to arrest me. He was very, very angry, very stern look. They took my passport away. They took pictures. They took information. He looked at me with the passport in his hands. And I said again, just to soften the standoff, I said, "Listen, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean it. I just forgot about it." But he said, "This is your last warning. It's okay. Thank you." Arrived to Chicago and had a flight in a couple of hours to Charlotte. The snowstorm started. They got us on the plane, pulled in and out, back 2-3 times, decided then not to. The runway was closed. They decided to wait for the runway to reopen. Then the time for that crew expired. They tried to find other crew. They couldn't find it. They had to get off the plane. They couldn't give us the hotel because it wasn't due to the airline fault that we were late, but inclement weather. Got a hotel. Couldn't put us on the flight next day because all the flights were full to Charlotte. They put us on standby, but they gave us 6 p.m. to Greensboro. We showed up at the airport early. Mizeta Ivanovas made it for the first flight. I said, "Mizeta, why don't you go? Because it's easier to deal with one person on standby than two." Hoping for the next flight at 2 p.m., 2:30, that there will be an open seat. It turned out there were plenty of seats on the plane at 2:30 at Charlotte. And I have no idea why they didn't tell us that the night before, gave us the tickets for that. Guy got on that flight, came back to Charlotte, so it was fine. Since then, kept dealing with this situation back home, that all the people unhappy with the changes we are making started almost like an open rebellion inside, whether it's incited or it's really honest because people are unhappy, don't know. But dealing with that, because every time you make change, there are people who are accusing you for making the change or not making the change. Either way, you're wrong. And it is really a tough time, and the worst of times and the best of times in Platform for Progress, because we finally realized, we learned, we grew up, big time fast in the past 2 years, realized that human resources and financial situation, two key issues. We have ideologies, we have we have our ideology, we have our principles, we have our program. It's really about finding the right people who can weather the storm, who can fight, who have the right principles. And we need to go through that process, and hopefully it's going to last not more than 2 months. We have to find the two the heads of two largest regions, find a replacement for the executive director. We have to work with the resources that we have and reach out to the ones we think would be a great fit to Platform for Progress. At the same time, at the national level, we are talking to the coalition of four that, at least in Canton Sarajevo, scored big time against the nationalists. And we decided at the level of the presidency that we will help them implement those changes, because that's the mandate from the people. They want to see the four, at least in Sarajevo, in the municipalities of Sarajevo and the surrounding municipalities, to form the government instead of the nationalists. And but they need our votes, our members of the councils. And so we decided to work with them and help them do that. But I indicated to the leaders of those four parties that we are helping them implement the will of the people. And we are not entering a coalition with them. We are just really helping them. So it is the 4+ Platform for Progress as opposed to the 5. We did not talk about the 22. Yesterday, the leader of the party that was most successful in the last elections came out at the press conference and said that these 5 parties, including us, will form a coalition for the election for the 22. And of course, our people were puzzled, had a lot of inquiries, Mossad, what is happening? I said, listen, first of all, we never talked about it. Second, I specifically asked them not to use the word coalition even for 2020, let alone 2022. And that is what people do in Bosnia. They use every opportunity to their advantage. Integrity is not a big deal for them. And we have to learn to deal with that, not to change, but to even stick more with our principles, but just to be prepared to expect anything and everything. There's an interesting battle going on in negotiations with the other parties in every city where we have our representatives in the city council, because even where we have 1 or 2 members of the city council, those members are needed often to form a majority. It often takes 3, 4, 5 parties to form a majority. And so they asked us, they ask us to negotiate and to work with them. And it is an interesting thing to observe. What they mean by negotiation means who gets what, how they divide the spoils when it comes to leadership positions within the city council, or control over state-owned firms, companies, or public institutions. But we don't do that. We basically said, no, we worried about programs. We are not here to divide the spoils. That's what you people do, not us. What we want is the best person in each of those positions, regardless of where he or she comes from, which party, what nationality. Don't care. Let's find the best person. Let's talk about programs. And they said, well, forget the programs. Let's divide this. And it's interesting, even among themselves, it's such a big battle that we are confused. We are just looking at them and say, wow, who are we dealing with? And these are like friends. It is normal, it is customary here that other parties try to buy off those representatives from other parties. And they cannot just directly switch, according to our law, switch to other party and become their representatives. They have to become independent, finish the term, but as an independent city council men, women, they can vote with other party members or give them, pledge their allegiance to them. And that is what is happening. Luckily, we thus far lost only one person, one that we never expected. Don't know what the motivation, and probably it's going to be that he will work with nationalists, which is really something that bothers us big time. But others are loyal to Platform for Progress, and we don't force them to do certain things. But we tell them the benefits of one approach versus the other. And to tell you the truth, since I arrived here, I've had 15, 20 conversations today, all of them dealing with such issues, negotiating with other parties, finding the right approach for each city, for each municipality, who to go with or who not to go with when it comes to forming majority, convincing everybody that those are not coalitions, those are really that we are enabling other parties to form coalitions so that the city government can actually start functioning. But I always tell other parties and their leaders that they cannot count on our vote absolutely. They have to earn it every time, meaning they have to put the right proposals that are in the interest of the government, of the not government, of the citizens, and then they will have our vote. And then we also, in order, in exchange for even that support, we want our programs to be considered when it comes to distribution, defining the budget or approving the budget. Anyway, growing up big time, turbulent time, to say the least. What we do at the level of city and municipality councils will, as I have said many times, will determine how people will view us in 2022, and we will do everything we can to help him out. Also, what is happening now, we are talking internally about new faces of Platform for Progress, people that we will groom to become not spokespeople, persons, but to be in the news more often, to be presented to the public as people who have their own opinions, their own expertise, their reasons for believing in Platform, and their take on the current issues in Bosnia-Herzegovina and the world, so that it is clearly, as it is not, a party of one person, but it is a party of substance, ideology, which has people of substance. And obviously everybody, every official within Platform for Progress has spoken to the media in the past, those leading regions, leading cities, leading municipalities, our candidates for mayors, for city council. That is in place, and that will always be in place. But in addition to that, we are thinking about new generation of politicians, often young, that we need to prepare for public life and to think about political, economic, social issues at a level of maturity that is required for making a troubled society be more progressive, or making more progressive. Oh, by the way, I forgot, and since I came here, all of this thing that happened in the United States last night, yesterday, with Trump supporters storming the Congress and like Capitol Hill, and all the way through the night, watching the deliberations in the U.S. in the House and the Senate, and then because of that, I got woken up at 5 a.m. from the media in Bosnia and Herzegovina, who wanted to get my take on what is happening in the U.S. And so I already gave a couple of interviews, and more coming this afternoon, tomorrow morning, or late night, 1 a.m.
Well, speaking of, what are the questions you're getting? What are they asking you?
What are they asking?
Yeah.
Well, they're asking for the immediate reaction. Mostly they're asking about divisions in the United States and how will they be or can they be overcome. Very interesting. They're asking about the state of mind of President Trump. They're asking about President Biden and his ability to heal the United States of America and the world, for that matter, whether the United States will assume its rightful role as the superpower within the world, thinking that Donald Trump actually withdrew the United States from that that level of obligation toward the rest of the world and the globe. They are also asking how the policy of the United States will affect Bosnia-Herzegovina and Europe in general. The United States, as a country, is very important for Bosnia-Herzegovina, for the whole region. People there intuitively, instinctively, and rationally believe that without the active involvement of the U.S., there will be no lasting peace in the region, the Western Balkan region. And I think they're right. I do believe that it's the United States that needs to be actively involved. And President Biden is the best person on earth to be in that role, to help out, because of his involvement in stopping the war, together with the President Bill Clinton, together with Madeleine Albright. And I think he will try to preserve this great success of the U.S. foreign policy.
When speaking of President-elect Biden, you have a history there too, in terms of having met and knowing him through the peace accord. How does that play in for you in terms of the future? And you've already got a relationship there that you haven't had with some of these other folks.
Well, we did meet, that is true, for a gala when we had a couple of years ago, and I introduced him, or 3 years ago, and I introduced him, and we had a conversation before. And he's genuinely a wonderful person and a very capable politician. And I believe that he will be a friend of every well-meaning politician in Bosnia and Herzegovina. I think he's going to be an asset. And just the fact that we met and we talked gives me such a confidence that he's a person who can be trusted, that will do the right thing. Of course, he has to worry about the interests of the United States first. But he's one of those U.S. politicians who believe that in addition to doing what is good for the United States, you also have to do what is right for the people involved. So success and justice are both important to him, and that is something that for which I'm very, very grateful. There are fewer and fewer people in the world today, and unfortunately, he's a great example of what a politician should look like and act like, how he should or she should act like.
Well, hopefully that relationship will prove beneficial for both sides.
Yeah, me too. Well, been these events today, yesterday, in the Capitol, on the Capitol Hill, show how it is important to do the right thing anywhere in the world, because messages from one country of one set of standards will come back to hunt you if you think that you deserve a different set of standards. You cannot appease dictators in one country and expect democracy in your own. No, you can't. It comes back to hunt you.